And now to Green Bay, where a math teacher is bringing more of the real world into math concepts. Get Real Math and Science videos feature dozens of real-world scenarios, and they're produced at area manufacturing companies. How do you use math in your job? Do you work in manufacturing or engineering? Maybe you're a carpenter or a dressmaker. How much math do you do in your head or longhand versus what computer programs assist you with? Give a shout out to Math on the Job, 800-642-1234. Marie Visti is a middle school teacher in the Green Bay Area Public School District. She's been in education for nearly two decades. Marie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think we need to take a very deep breath and check in. How are you doing? How are you holding up? How is this pandemic year for you and your students?
Well, you know, it's been so great to get back to the classroom with my kids and have them all with me all together. My kids this year have been, they've really been a gift. And I'm not sure if it's because they're so excited to all be back together or what the situation is, but they asked me to promise to give them a shout out. And so I have to do that. They are really excited about being back. It's been really, really busy. We have to be conscious of the transitions that kids are going through as we're all kind of heading back into things. But it's been so great to be back into the classroom with the kids, have them interacting with each other. It's really fabulous.
Yeah, just shout out Miss Visti's on the radio, y'all. Well, you know, this is the hour of the day, though, where we don't often get the privilege of talking with school teachers. You're usually at work, but it's student conferences, so we get you on this kind of off day. While we have you here, can you take a moment to really level with us who aren't in your profession? How can we be better allies to our teachers?
Well, I think a big part of it has to do with making sense of what our goals are for kids and thinking about how we can support that. I know in mathematics, there's a lot of frustration because we want to help our kids, but maybe we don't remember how to do certain things, mm-hmm. or we're seeing our kids doing problems that don't look like the way that we did them, or that they're using different strategies. And I always think about how important it is just to be a cheerleader for sense making and to listen, to encourage kids to talk through problems and just keep asking them those questions about, well, what does that mean? Show me what you mean by that, you know, and really having those conversations. It's more than just the calculating and the answer. It's about the conversation.
Yeah, opening up math to discuss how you're approaching something. What are you seeing that maybe I'm not seeing? So making it more of a back and forth.
Yes, absolutely. Because when it comes down to how we use math in our lives, math is about problem solving. Mathematics is not the problem itself. Mathematics is something that helps us to solve our problems and make sense of the world around us. So we want it to be about how we make sense of problems and how we make sense of the world. Whether kids are learning basic addition in elementary school, or like my algebra students, they're learning mathematical modeling, or they're getting into high school and they're learning some of those higher level concepts. I try to emphasize that it's not always exactly about how we're going to use that particular skill, but how we're going to make sense of problems and use mathematics to solve life's problems.
You know, mathematics being so near and dear to your heart, being an educator for a couple decades, what do you love about teaching math? And do you still get surprised?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. It's like having a picture into the way the human brain works. And the more I learn about my students and the more I learn about their reasoning, the more the wonderful surprises happen. You know, I was just working with a student during lunch yesterday, and we were working through some problems, and he came up with something really quickly. And I thought to myself, wow, how did he do that? Because I didn't think of it. And when he talked me through it, just seeing the creativity that goes into restructuring numbers and how that all pulls together, I think is something that surprises me all the time. When I first got into teaching, you know, I got into it because I enjoyed doing math. I enjoyed helping other people do math, and those aha moments that people have when they're able to do something that they found difficult. More and more for me, it's still about that, but it's also about helping people to realize their potential and how incredible their brains are, how Joel Bowler refers to it as plasticity, you know, how flexible our thinking can be and how flexible our learning is.
Oh, I really appreciate that explanation. Thank you. You know, the Get Real Math videos, how do they show students how they can apply these math problems to real life, and how have you incorporated them into your classroom?
Well, when they started in the beginning, it was really about having a conversation. I was working as a curriculum coordinator at the time, and I was having a conversation with the Northeast Wisconsin Manufacturers Alliance. They were really excited about kind of the soft skills related to math, not just the specific calculations. While those are really important, precision is very important, fluency. At the same time, they were excited about the idea of sense making and problem solving, precision, communication. And so the Get Real Math videos were really a two-sided conversation about what teachers need, but what manufacturers are also seeing that they need from students who are graduating. And when we say manufacturing, we're talking about hands-on jobs that are really, you know, in the shop, but we're also talking about planning and engineering and all the things that surround those logistics. For kids who were learning about manufacturing jobs and seeing not just specific careers, but seeing how it works in the world around them and being able to say, oh my gosh, I never even thought of that. There must be so many possibilities. So the Get Real Math videos really came out of that idea. And with those collaborations, kids have the opportunity to view real world problem solving and participate in it. Not just see someone solving a problem, but have a problem posed to them and really think about, wow, what would you have to know to solve this problem? What information would you need to solve this problem? Instead of kind of being like those textbook problems that we're all used to seeing, you know, do problems 1 through 20, and then that story problem at the end, mm-hmm. where that story problem was very contrived. And the answer, you weren't even sure how to make sense of it because, well, there's actually a cartoon about it where like the answer to the problem is Sally bought 53 watermelons or something on that order. And it doesn't make sense because what one person would ever buy 53 watermelons? But if you get real math problems, actually seeing it and saying, oh, wow, that really makes sense. That does it make sense that the water quality would need to be that way? Does it make sense that when you're making a chair, you know, the same ones that they're sitting on in their classrooms, that these answers would make sense for that chair? So it really gets them more involved in the process and less about just, you know, a calculation.
Middle school math teacher Marie Visti helps show her students that math is all around us, especially on the job. Are you a teacher? How do you bring to life concepts in textbooks? What was it like to teach math in the pandemic? How do you get students excited about learning? And how serious is the learning loss situation? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're discussing math skills and making middle school math concepts applicable to things we'd actually encounter in the real world. Are you a fan of real world math? Do you have strategies to make math concepts more relevant? How are you catching up students to grade level in these times? Join in on teaching, 800-642-1234. We have middle school math teacher in Green Bay. Marie Visti stays with us. Marie, let's talk about girls in math. Barriers to girls in STEM has been this vexing issue for a long time, and things have come a long way. I look at my daughter, who really enjoys doing math for hours at night. How do you chip away at these long-held stereotypes that still persist that girls in math don't mix?
I think a big part of it is really talking about the roles that women have played in mathematics. You know, really bringing that to the forefront. It's more than just women. When we talk about our communities of color, various heritages, you know, there's a lot of underrepresented people in mathematics that we want to encourage to bring forward. When I think of these things, I think it's so much about bringing those names and voices forward and making sure that they're aware that they've been there, that they're part of the conversation and how critical those perspectives are. I think another part is encouraging discourse and communication in mathematics. We want to make sure that everybody's part of the conversation, that everyone's part of the sense making. So not allowing one dominant personality, not allowing for just one person to take things over, but really encouraging all voices within discussion to be heard and all viewpoints to be valued. I think that's something that's really critical in all areas of STEM.
There's also a fear of math, or feeling afraid of doing math, or that hesitation of, it's math. How do you get students over those types of emotions?
We have conversations about growth mindset and the idea of that it's not where you are right now, it's where you're heading, that we're all an accumulation of our experiences and all the things that really came before us, and that there's so much potential for growth is a big conversation that we have. Math anxiety is a very real thing. I think part of it also is how we assign labels to people who are good at math, saying that someone is so smart because they can do math, because then what happens when we say that someone is, when we see struggling, is that that perception kind of comes from within, and we think, oh my gosh, I'm struggling in math. I must be the opposite of smart. I tell my kids, they're all smart. They're all smart. It's all about potential and where they're going. I'm not concerned about who's going to know it first. I'm concerned about who's eventually going to know it. I tell them that when it comes down to a lesson or an idea, that they're really like a bag of popcorn. And when I put a bag of popcorn in the microwave, I really don't care which kernel popped first or second or last. Ultimately, I want to open that bag of popcorn and I'm going to enjoy it all. It's really about the end result. It's not about who gets there fastest.
What about learning loss? We've found that students have really fallen behind in these really core subject areas in the pandemic. What are you encountering with learning loss?
The last year and a half was a very real challenge for all of us, for teachers, for students, for families. And we can't forget that in any way, shape, or form. I think it's, for me, been really important to constantly be assessing and pre-assessing. What are the kids learning? What do I need to connect to? What do I need to bring forward? Because I need to honor that. I can't expect them to be in a spot because that's where I need them to be. I need to make sure that I'm connecting to those understandings and bringing them forward. Sometimes that means we need to go slow to go fast in a classroom, and that we need to make sure that we're having those deeper conversations, that we can't assume that certain things are already known. Some kids have managed to have the resources at hand and have the advantages to be very engaged. Some kids have struggled more than others based on any number of things. So it's really been about connecting and differentiating to make sure that all students are still part of the conversation, that they all know how welcome they are to be back, and that we're able to, that we honor where they are, not what they've lost.
We're with Marie Bisti, who is a middle school teacher in the Green Bay Public School District, been in education for 19 years, and we're looking at teaching math, and just insights from a teacher. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Marie, what did all that time virtually and teaching in a virtual format, what did you learn in that environment?
I learned how much I loved my students. I always knew I loved my students, but I learned how much I wanted to connect with them and how much I valued that time with them, because, you know, it's one of those cases of you don't know what you've got until it's gone. There's a lot I learned about how to connect with students using technology that I really wasn't implementing before. It wasn't all about loss. There was a lot of learning that happened for us professionally, a lot of awareness that really got in our face pretty quickly. And so I'm not the same teacher that I was before I headed into it. I think it's changed all of us as educators as well. We have an awareness that I think we had to become hyper aware. And so we have that always with us. And the idea of differentiating using technology, various ways that we could connect with students that maybe we weren't thinking of before.
You know, parents saw the inner workings of schools. So many parents who were seeing their child at home, learning from home, and juggling that in the background, and hearing those classroom interactions. I know it was so fascinating to me to have that inside look at how teachers teach. How have interactions been with parents in these times? And were you aware of that too, that you were in your students' homes?
At times it became quite aware based on how kids' microphones were on and who was talking in the background. So, you know, there's interesting insights that we got into some of that. I'm also a mom. I have a son who is a freshman in high school this year. So I had that opportunity to see that kind of on the parent end as well. Parents were some of my greatest advocates, and being able to communicate with them, they were really eyes and ears that I had that were very direct into kind of that classroom. And so communicating with parents became really critical. I think parents wanted to be there for their kids. They wanted to do everything they could. And for parents, whether the parents were also working from home, the parents were not able to work, but they were at home. For parents who weren't able to work at home, that they were in some of those jobs where they had to be away and they had to trust that their teenagers were doing what they needed to do during the day, really created a lot of different situations. But the one thing that became so important was communication. And that's one of the things that I learned coming out of it, was how important it is to communicate and emphasize that we're all part of this team that has this goal for their children to be successful adults moving forward.
We only have a few seconds left, but I'm wondering, what is keeping you up at night about education? What do you think about?
I think about how education has become political in a lot of ways. And so many of the conversations that we have are charged. I think there's this idea of what we want for our kids and what we want and why we get into education. And just really keeping that for myself at the forefront, because there's a lot of news out there. There's a lot of conversations about what's going on in classrooms, what teachers are doing, what teachers should be doing. And just kind of always having to remind myself that the goal is to take care of kids. The goal is to bring them forward into a just and equitable society that meets their needs and helps them to meet the needs of others.
Marie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
Marie Visti, middle school teacher in the Green Bay Area Public School District, been a teacher educator nearly two decades. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.